I'd like to remind all participants, today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Good morning, good afternoon to everyone. On today's RAP call on Monday, the 3rd of May, we have Greg Aaron, Mike O'Connor, Faisal Shah, James Bladel, Barry Cobb, Fred Selman. From staff, we have Margie Milam, Marika Konings, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. I don't have any apologies. If I could please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Greg.
Thank you very much, Gisela. Rob Rasmussen mentioned to me that he is on the road, and that's probably why he's not with us today. So let's consider those to be regrets. So anyway, thank you, everyone. Today we're going to first follow up on our action items from last week, and then we'll move on to the latest comments. The action items were as follows. We have two slamming recommendations, and those went up to the list, and we should discuss those. And I saw there was a little bit of back and forth on the list, it looked like. So those recommendations were as follows. Let me put them in the notes window.
I think Marika is ahead of you.
Oh. Yes, there they are. Okay. Thank you, Marika. Okay, so the first one is we recommend nothing at this time because it's out of scope. Recommendation three is monitor for abuse and designate a team to conduct research and create education for awareness. And then there's some additional background text, which I guess my first question is that just additional text, or is that actually part of the recommendation?
Greg, this is Mikey. I pushed a revised version of that up to the list that we might want to. I think Perry was okay with that revision.
Yes, that's it. Sorry, this is Perry. Email on 427.
Okay, so you want to read your recommended version for number three?
Yeah, actually, I have to scroll back real quick because the way I
got it right here, Mikey, if you want.
Yeah, because I must have used formatting stuff that didn't come through. So, Barry, if you could, what I did is chop a whole lot out of it, reword
right.
It. So, go ahead, Barry.
This is Barry. It slimmed down. The RAPWG recommends the GNSO monitor for this abuse in the generic space and conduct research to determine the nature and extent of the problem. The working group believes this issue warrants a formal review but understands that the lack of credible data to substantiate it does not warrant a PDP at this time.
Period.
Sorry. Yes.
Okay. So can we throw up the complete...
Yeah, give me just a second. I'll paste it into the window.
In the chat bar there.
Yeah, give me just a second. Got to get through some of the formatting.
And Phil Corwin's joined us, by the way. Hi, Phil.
Good morning.
Phil who? Corwin? I've heard of him. What a handsome stranger on our call. Great to have you back, Bill.
I've been on some recent calls.
Oh, have you?
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Almost there. And I'm pasting now. basic.
This is Mikey. Just to highlight sort of what I did, I struck out the phrase designated team ICANN staff, and I added the determine the nature and extent of the problem on the first sentence, and dropped the create education for awareness phrase. And then in the second sentence, I just tweaked it a little bit. I said the work group believes that this issue warrants formal review rather than definition, but understands that the lack of credible data to substantiate it does not warrant a PDP, and then I added at this time. And then I struck the last couple of sentences just to give you a sense of the change there. It's too bad that strike through didn't come through. I'm sorry about that. I'll file that away for later.
Okay. This is Greg. I have a question. So is formal review confusing or extraneous? I mean, we're clear we're not asking for a formal issues report, I think, because we're not asking for a PDP. But we need to be very clear for the council exactly what we're asking for.
This is Mikey. I think the intent here is to back off from initial report, because when we get to initial report, we are on the road to PDP. But strongly encourage some research on this. And so, you know, I would be okay with the notion of saying the working group believes this issue warrants review, take out the word formal, if that would solve the problem that you've got. But I think that the key thing here is that the intent is not to let it just slide by, but to have somebody somewhere somehow take a look and see if we can figure out how much of this is going on, because we just don't have enough information right now to formulate a PDP. This is our classic chicken and egg problem of which comes first, the PDP or the data, and we're sort of lobbying for some data.
Wendy Seltzer has joined the call, by the way. This is Greg. I just put up a slightly revised version in the chat window. I'm curious what you think about it. Let's go to Barry and then James, please.
Actually, my comment is relative to the word that, or the word that we're going to be using to call this. We're calling it slamming right now. There's another option that James had created, but I'll continue it after we've finalized recommendation 3 here.
James?
Hi, Greg. James speaking. And not trying to belabor a point here or make this recommendation language too cumbersome, but I'm concerned that when we say we want the GNSO to conduct research, I think that they only have one way to do that, which is to form an issues report and, you know, kick off a working group. I think you know, what we're saying perhaps is could benefit from some clarification if we were to say, you know, recommend the GNSO issue a call for volunteers for interested individuals and organizations to conduct research and just kind of leave some flexibility into that recommendation that the research would be conducted, you know, not necessarily by staff and not part of a an issues report or a working group, but just that it was more of an informal and volunteer-led effort.
This is Greg. Thank you, James. You do raise a process point, which is worthy of discussion. I mean, one way to research is to do an issues report. The other way is for a working group to do it, like we've been doing on a number of topics. The problem, one of the problems I see here is we are coming to this topic so late that we've run out of time. And if it's something we were interested in, we should have been doing this already. And to recommend that another group get together is just, I don't know what question or what issues that raises. So that's my piece. Other thoughts? I mean, again, we come back to this question of clarity. What are we asking the council to do? Are we asking that another working group be constituted to look at this issue? Because is that the only way the GNSO looks to do research? Or are we asking that an issues report be done, but that's on a certain track, that's basically on a PDP track? Or are we asking that some research be done out of band, basically? But can such research be done out of band by a group of volunteers? Should that be done?
I'd like to answer the question with a question, if hopefully. I mean, if we look at the current studies that are going on for the WHO is, they're funded somehow, but as I understand it, there's no formal working group that's driving those studies. They're contracted out by the GNSO and paid to have those studies done. Is that a route that is pursuable, that somehow the GNSO funds the study, they call up for some contracting company to actually go do the research and provide the data? You know, I guess the bottom line is, you know, in terms of any kind of recommendation we put forward or who does it is, you know, I think that this warrants enough that we don't drop it altogether. We got to get somebody to go get some kind of data about it.
Okay. Let's go to Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. I mean, Barry already raised the issue I wanted to bring up as well. It's the case of the WHO is studies, where staff actually has been directed by the GNSO to assess feasibility and costs for studies in that area. So that would be another approach that could be considered, that, you know, you request the GNSO to direct staff to investigate, you know, what the cost would be and whether such a study would be feasible, or maybe reach out to other organizations to see, you know, if they have any data or information on this, or alternatively as well, work with members of the community to try to get data together. I mean, there are different ways that could be explored. And, of course, I mean, noting that directing staff to do so will, you know, take time and resources. And in the end of the day, if we can, of course, come back with costings, there's the question as well, will the council be willing to fund studies, you know, to have a price tag attached to them? So.
I'm a little concerned about that, because there's discussion about funding shortages for the WHO is studies, which are frankly very important.
Well, just to note on that, you know, I think it's more a question that it needs to be budgeted for the next fiscal year, and that's why certain requests have come in. I think it's not a question of budget shortage, it's just something, you know, indeed looking forward and building the budget, you know, those building blocks need to be accounted for. And I think that's why as well the GNSO Council put in a request saying, look, don't forget that we are looking at these studies and we're getting costings out. We're not ready yet to tell you how much we need, but we do want you to take a provision out there so that when the time comes and we are ready to decide and we have all the information we need, there are funds available to move ahead if decided so.
Okay. Thank you, Marika. Let's go to Mikey.
Thanks, Greg. This is Mikey. I have a one-word change suggestion that might wiggle through this little conundrum. What if we changed the phrase to say sponsor research instead of conduct research? And by sponsor, we leave it open that this could include either monetary sponsoring or just leadership sponsoring, and then leave it to the GNSO to figure out how they want to do it.
Okay. All right. I have one suggestion, which would be it does not warrant an issues report or PDP at this time.
This is Mikey. I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Greg, this is James.
Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to respond to some of the thoughts about including this and who is studied. And while I think that might be appropriate, I wanted to point out that the target topics and hypotheses that would be tested by WHOIS studies were the result of a lengthy and sometimes controversial process. And I would just caution this group about casually adding to that topic list because that was the result of a very large community effort that went on for, I think, a couple of months. I was a part of that effort. I think some other folks on this group were as well. So I'd just be cautious about adding to that to-do list, especially considering that the whole batch is, as we mentioned, underfunded at this point. So while I may personally feel like this is a germane topic to shoehorn in there, I'm hesitant to reopen that discussion.
Okay, thank you. Okay. We now have recommendations for we have language for two recommendations. I propose that we put those out to the list and measure consensus levels. I don't want to spend too much more time on this topic in the calls. We have a lot of other things to do, and this one is getting shoehorned in. So any objections to that course of action?
Can you just confirm then the two recommendations is the one where, the no action taken and the one that's now up as the note? Because I just want to make sure that I got the language right there at the end. It wasn't a change you proposed.
Okay. Yeah, the note, your note says the RAP recommends the GNSO monitor for this abuse in the generic space. I think that should be GTLD space. And sponsor research to determine the nature and extent of the problem. The working group believes this issue warrants review, but notes there is not enough data at this time to warrant an issues report or PDP yet. So, yes, that would be the language.
At this time and yet are somewhat redundant. Can we strike the yet? Just say at this time.
I was going to say that, too. Thanks, James.
Yeah.
It's Mikey.
Sure. Okay.
Marika, if
you could be so kind, can you send out recommendation one, and then new language for recommendation three, and if you could send that to the list, and then the members should reply to it with their preference, and we'll see where we are.
This is just Morgan, because another question I have is whether, once we've gone through all the comments and all the changes, whether you want to run another poll on the different recommendations and whether I don't know if this. I presume this is an initial testing of the water to see where people sit. But are you planning as well to do another more formal survey again?
We don't know yet, or it may only be on certain ones.
Okay.
If we make changes to them, let's run this one up the flagpole and see where people are. So let's call this a first measurement of the consensus level. Okay. Any other notes on this topic before we leave it?
Greg, this is Barry. Just real quick, there was contention about what we call this, and I think you had mentioned in the past that slamming was used in the telecom industry. James had proposed a different term, which was titled Alternative TLD Shakedown. Any thoughts or concerns about using that, or should we just continue to call it slamming for now?
Well, definitely more colorful.
Yeah, I like it. This is Mike.
I like the proposed one as well, Shakedown. We'll put some Grateful Dead stickers around it or something.
Yeah. Shakedown, breakdown, you know. It's all good.
Okay, that's all I had. Thank you.
I haven't thought about it. I don't know. We'll figure it out. All right. So note to figure out the title, sure. All right. The next action item is Wendy was to suggest language for the UDRP section regarding balance review, and she sent around a note about that. But let's put that up.
This is Marika. I don't recall seeing that email. If you want me to put it up on Adobe Connect, could you forward it to me?
Yeah, let me. I'm trying to find it in my mail right now, actually.
I don't think it hit the list. This is Mikey. I'm looking in
the
list. It's not there.
And I received it through the list, I thought.
I saw something from Wendy.
I will paste it into the chat.
Yeah, it was on Friday the 30th.
Nothing.
Okay. Wendy copied it to the DT list. But I'm wondering if there's.
I'm just looking at the mailing archives and there's no email from Wendy there.
Wendy, did you
from an alternative email address, maybe not an address that you're registered with, to the list? Because that sometimes causes problems.
It was sent from Wendy at seltzer.com.
That's usually where I'm subscribed.
Wendy, if you can maybe just forward me the email, I can look into it and try to figure out what happened.
Thanks,
there.
Thanks, Marika. I'm sure.
Okay. Yeah, I'm forwarding it to Marika in the list right now. Because Wendy had also copied me on that. So, should have it shortly.
I received it. I just need to convert it to PDF and I'll post it up.
You know, this business of being able to exchange messages instantaneously all over the world and this internet thing, I think that's going to catch on.
That's a killer application.
Exciting.
There it is.
Okay, there we go. Thank you. Thank you, Marika. Okay, so when do you want to walk us through that?
Sure. It's just a recognition that we'd heard lots of, we'd heard several public comments that suggested the references to cyber squatting be balanced, and the report itself referred to need for various kinds of review of the UDRP. I simply suggested that where we say the WG recommends initiation of a policy development process by requesting an issues report to investigate the current state of the UDRP and consider revisions if appropriate, rather than specifically revisions to address cyber squatting. The effort should consider how the UDRP has addressed the problem of cyber squatting, and additionally, and fairness to non-cyber squatting registrants to date. And then the final suggestion was simply a grammatical change. That was it.
Okay. This is Greg. So this would be a change to the recommendation language, and that would that would necessitate a new taking of consensus level votes. Now, the other thing we would need to do is put probably some text in the body of the report, noting that we saw some threads in the public comments about this. So. I think we should certainly do that because it's background. So the question is that enough, or do we need to change the language of the recommendation itself? So, what do folks think?
So this is Wendy, and I would favor changing the language of the recommendation. Like this, because the body of the report did speak to both sides, and yet the recommendation only said review how effective the UDRP is against cyber squatting, and not any of the other concerns that the body had already raised.
Ah, okay, I understand. Thank you. Phil has his hand up.
Yeah, I just I wanted to support Wendy's recommendation, and our comment letter from the ICA took this approach for basic, a couple of reasons. One, it's kind of redundant to say, revise the UDRP as it addresses cyber squatting. The UDRP is all about an administrative remedy for allegations of cyber squatting, so it's kind of redundant to say it. As a practical matter, we and GoDaddy and other commentators said once you open up the UDRP, really you put the whole thing in play again, and I think you're going to find a lot of willingness on the part of folks who represent registrants to address, support changes that assist complainants, so long as the approach to revising the UDRP is balanced. Takes into, I don't see how you could consider that strengthening protections for complainants without considering how to better protect legitimate registrants against abusive charges. And last thing I'd say is ICA at least have been calling for a PDP on UDRP reform for well over a year, and maintaining that that's a better approach than having different rules for incumbent top-level domains and new top-level domains, and after 10 years of UDRP practice, it's pretty clear to a lot of people what's working and what isn't, and what issues should be addressed. So overall, we just don't think it's a practical matter. As a matter of fairness, it's you should recommend just approaching this from one perspective, because once you open up UDRP, the whole debate's going to be about the proper balance and revisions.
Okay. Thank you, Bill. All right. So now that everyone has been able to see Wendy's proposed change, I do want to give everybody on the list, both those present today and those who are not, an opportunity to comment on it. Since we're changing the recommendation, we would need to, sometime this month, do a remeasuring of consensus levels, just to be formal about it. So, Marika, that answers your question about polling. Sounds like we will definitely need to poll this one one more time. So let me put an action item for everybody to respond to this. If we don't get any particular objections to this language, then this will be the language we'll measure consensus levels on one more time. Does that sound okay? Any objections? Okay. Fred says no. Fred, you want to weigh in?
Yeah, I guess, you know, Wendy wasn't really involved with the drafting of any of the cyber squatting discussion, and we're now proposing a relatively dramatic change to the recommendation. And it just strikes me as odd that we're actually asking to change something, you know, this way, this late in the game, with someone who wasn't involved with the work.
Okay. This is Greg. I guess, well, one of the reasons why we have public comment periods is to consider modifications to our work. So it is, I think, keeping within the process. Your other question is, Wendy wasn't involved. I don't know what to say about that. I mean, we had people weighing in on the initial recommendation who frankly didn't show up for meetings. Let's go to Barry and James.
Unfortunately, I guess I just really have another question, and it's kind of in the same court as Fred and Faisal as well, and that's with respect to the recommendation relative to gripe sites. And I think that we had possibly talked about at least trying to get some sort of consistency with the UDRP decisions about gripe sites. And I think that maybe a couple of meetings ago we were talking about possibly folding that in with this recommendation about looking at the UDRP. And I'm just wondering if the changes that Wendy has proposed here would change that in any way. Or was I dreaming because it's so silent?
Any comment on Barry's question? If not, we'll go to James.
Yeah, sorry, I don't really have anything to add to Barry's comment. But with regard to Wendy's changes to the recommendation or proposed changes to the recommendation, I think that, and I'm speculating a little bit, so maybe Faisal and Frederick can help me out a little bit on this one, but it seems like the proposal to delete phrase to address cyber squatting is more impactful than the proposal to add the fairness language in the second bullet point or the first bullet point. And so my support for Wendy's proposals are mixed in that I agree with the proposal to add the fairness language, but I would disagree with the attempt to narrow the scope of the UDRP review, however futile that might be. So I guess I would recommend that when we put this out to the list that we allow for, we separate those and allow for consensus tests for each individually.
Okay, thank you, James. Let's go to Mikey.
Thanks, Greg. It's Mikey. You know, my recollection of why Wendy got this job is that she just signed up to be the scribe and summarize the conversation that we had on the call. I don't know that she necessarily took this as an advocacy kind of thing. It was more she was too slow off the branch and got caught with an action item. So I don't know that there's a whole lot to read into the fact that Wendy drafted this. This was a conversation that was, as I remember it, across the group, and she just got to describe it.
Thank you. That was my intent.
This is Greg. Now, I guess maybe one way to look at this is, well, what is the reason for being for the UDRP? Does it exist to address any other issues beyond cyber squatting? Phil made a mention, for example, that cyber squatting is the reason for being for the UDRP, basically, if I'm paraphrasing that correctly, Phil.
Well, I mean, the UDRP is an administrative process to address allegations of cyber squatting, as defined, you know, the three-part test in the UDRP, so I don't know what it... it seems redundant, and not to add anything, to say revise the UDRP to address cyber squatting. And I'm just saying, as a practical matter, you can't, if there's a process to consider UDRP revision to better address certain abuses that are taking place, whether they're at the time of registration or thereafter, I think in any PDP it would be impossible to discuss them without discussing the whole of the UDRP and how it might impact those who believe they're not in violation but might be so charged. So I just don't know how you would undertake a UDRP reform effort and not consider the perspectives of both sides to the process. And I think that's
Thank
all
you,
that Wendy is trying to do with this language, to say that it should be balanced. I don't think anyone's trying to oppose changes that would address real problems. I would say, from perspective of the folks I represent, if the process can be made faster and less expensive and more effective for genuine cases of cyber squatting, we have no objection, so long as other considerations are in the mix.
This is Greg. One of the things that the recommendation has always said is that it should examine how the UDRP has addressed the problem and any insufficiencies / inequalities associated with the process. My recollection is that inefficiencies and inequalities language was there to remind us that people have pointed out what they think are imbalances that need to be examined. So that language has always been there, and everybody was okay with it. Do we need to are we talking about further emphasizing the need for balance, or does the recommendation, as it was written in the initial report, already address this problem? I see Faisal's hand raised. Why don't we go to Faisal?
You know, a couple of things. I just wanted to say that I agree with James that we shouldn't delete the term to address cyber squatting. I also think that if we're going to change recommendations at this point, I think we have to have a pretty significant test to be able to do that, because I think we've discussed a lot of these recommendations ad nauseum over many, many months with a lot of people in the past, and I recognize that other people may come in and want to make changes, but I think to make a significant change at this point, or to make a change at this point, recommendation and not simply add some information that we can actually put into the report. I think has to have a test that should be implemented. Some significant, there has to be some, either the recommendation is erroneous or there has to be some significant material that has to be added to it. I think at this point, I don't think that any of the, it's neither erroneous nor is there any significant information that's being added now to the recommendation that would warrant that we now have to change it. So I think to some degree, Greg, we have to, there has to be some test to be able to go through these recommendations given the amount of work and time and effort that's been put into these recommendations over the last year. So that's what I want.
Okay. This is Greg. I'm kind of leaning towards what Faisal said, which is, first, we've gone through a lot to get to this language. Second, I'm thinking that the language already kind of addresses this issue. And my third thought is, we can certainly, you know, since we've gotten public comments on this stuff, we can certainly add material into the text of the report to talk about that public feedback note that a lot of people said it needs to be balanced, et cetera. There's nothing preventing us from putting that on the record to highlight the public comment. Let's go to Mikey.
This is Mikey, the process guy and fellow working group chair speaking. I think that the significant event that has happened is we got public comment. I think if people discover that public comments, which in many cases take a lot of time and energy to prepare, don't result in a change in the report sometimes, then we've blown up a pretty important part of the bottom-up consensus process at ICANN. And so I would be careful about declaring that the public comments we got are not sufficiently significant to warrant changes to our recommendations. That's the whole point of public comments.
So are you saying we got it wrong on the first the initial report?
I'm really zeroed in on the process issue rather than the content right now.
I guess the process issue is, did we get it? Did the public comments necessitate a change in the language, or is the language enough that the public comments didn't say enough to warrant a change? There's a difference between ignoring public comment and saying that the recommendation did include enough language to address the balance issue, I guess. Okay. Faisal, is that a new hand or an old hand?
Oh, yeah, that's an old hand. I'll take it down.
Oh, okay. So, anybody else? Sounds like we have some folks saying the recommendation is okay as is. We have some folks thinking that a change would be needed, at least one change or two changes. And I've also suggested that the language of the recommendation might be okay, but we need to put more stuff on record in the body of the report. So where do we go from here? First, let me see a show of hands from people who feel strongly that the language needs to be changed. The language in the recommendation needs to be changed somehow. If you believe that the language needs to be changed somehow, please use a check mark. If you believe that the language addresses the balance issue, put an X.
Greg, just a clarifying question. This is Mikey. Is the text that Wendy modified the original recommendation? I just can't remember. I'm on too many working groups to keep this straight.
Do we need to post the original recommendation again?
Well, you know, if Wendy was working off the original, then I'm fine. I just don't remember.
My brackets were off what was in the draft final report.
Okay. Thanks, Wendy.
So, again, and Phil, I see your hand. Do you want to note anything else?
Oh, I thought we were voting. You know, let me ask a point of information. You've made several references to other language which speak to balance. It's not on the... Can you tell us, can you cite that or quote it?
In the recommendation from the initial report, it does say addressing any insufficiencies / inequalities associated with the process. And my personal understanding was that is there to address some of the complaints that people have had, both complainants and respondents, over the years.
Okay.
If
that's all there is, I don't think that's sufficient to recommend a balanced process of UDRP reform going forward. And so I would vote for Wendy's language. And I would just say, as a practical matter, a recommendation for that type of balanced approach, I think, will be embraced by the community, whereas one that just says cyber squatting with no reference to a balanced approach is going to generate controversy, and we're going to wind up with a balanced approach anyway.
Okay. So let's go back to our polling. This is a straw poll. If you liked the original language, as found in the initial report, you put an X. If you believe some change is needed, and we'll get to the change, what specifically the changes are in a minute, but if you believe change is needed, please put up a check mark. If you want to go with, again, if you want to go with the initial, use an X.
Don't wait on me. I'm just going to abstain.
Okay. So
you coward.
So we have three checks and four X's. Okay, so we're kind of split. All right, so is there any language that we can forge here that kind of reconciles things? All right, let me ask this question. Is anybody object to the word balanced? Does anybody object to the fact, the suggestion that a review of the UDRP should be balanced? I'm hearing lots of support for balance. That's kind of like voting against motherhood and apple pie, if you're an American, at least. Should we just put the word balanced in somehow? Mikey?
I'm kind of riding along with James here. What if we split the difference and left the cyber squatting language in the first clause and, you know, so remove the delete. And so the first would say, consider revisions to address cyber squatting if appropriate. And then leave Wendy's language in to the first bullet.
Mike, this is James. I'm fine with that. I think that that's probably the least impactful change. But I'm not taking a strong or strident position on either change at this point.
Okay, so can we put the language up that Mikey has suggested? Marika, can you do that little notes box? Yeah, there you go. Thank you. All right, so Mikey, does that read the way you wanted?
Yes. And as I read it now on the screen, I probably would have done what Wendy did simply because the phrase cyber squatting is repeated in the first bullet after being in the lead paragraph. So I probably would have just then taken that out to thin out the language a bit. But either way is fine. I think that the intent here is let's leave the reference to cyber squatting in and also acknowledge the need for a balanced approach.
All right. I'm going to also suggest some language. I'm going to put it in the chat box. This is Greg. And what I did was I said the changes I made were basically to say to consider balanced revisions if appropriate. And then the rest of it, I think, is as it was in the initial report, I think. So, Faisal, when you say, I think the addition is unnecessary, which addition are you referring to?
I'm referring to the fairness to non-cyber squatting registrants to date only because I think the insufficiencies slash inequalities associated are, I think, present enough of a give the recommendation what I think everyone is looking for anyway. And I think to the extent I do not have a problem with adding balanced at the very top, but I would add balanced and then keep out the fairness to non-cyber squatting registrants a bit if that's what we're going to do. I mean, I would actually vote to not do anything at all at this point. Because I think, again, I'm going to go back to this point that, you know, it has to be, I mean, I recognize Mikey's point of view that, you know, we did have the comment period and people can provide their comments, but to the extent we got it wrong, Greg, then I think that we should change it. If we didn't, if we pretty much got where we want to go with it, but we went through the whole polling and did all this comment, all this work over the last year to get to this point. I think we shouldn't do anything, but, you know, that's my point.
Okay. So what I've done in my version I simply added the word balanced. To consider balanced revisions. Otherwise, My suggestion is to leave the language as it is, but include that word balance to get across the point that's been brought up in the public comments. So, Phil, I see Phil's hand up.
Yeah, I think once you put in the word balance, the other language and fairness, I think balance implies fairness, so the other language becomes superfluous. And again, you know, the UDRP, I think it's a little redundant to say cyber squatting because it's kind of like saying let's amend the drunk driving laws to better address, you know, driving under the influence. You know, it's not a big objection, and I think the word balance and I think does the trick to say that this group is recommending that the process going forward be fair and balanced. I think that's fine without the other language.
Okay, thank you, Phil. Other comments?
Mikey, I can support that language too.
Okay. So again, the idea here is we add the word balanced and that's it. We want to address the public comments. Balance seems everything that is something that everyone I'm hoping can agree to. Being reasonable. Hopefully we're shooting for reasonableness. I think that's one thing everybody wants. The other thing this does is it leaves the initial report language alone, which we did spend a great deal of time on and was the result of a lot of consensus building. So would everybody be okay sending this version up for some polling as to consensus levels? Does this strike a balance that folks can agree upon? Okay, Fred checks yes. Barry checks yes. Mikey checks yes. Faisal checks yes. Bill checks yes. I'm okay with it. Wendy checks yes. And James checks yes. Okay.
Yeah, way to go, James.
Okay. All right. So, we're just adding that word, that one word balanced. Okay, awesome. All right, the process works. All right, we will send that up for consensus polling this month just to make it official and give everybody one more chance to weigh in on it, but I think we have a way forward. So, thank you. Okay. All right, good. I think those... we only have one more thing, and I'm hoping we can do it quickly, and that was James was going to look at the front running and write up additions, but those additions were to, I believe, the text of the report, not to recommendations. Was that correct?
Yes, that was correct, Greg, and I don't feel particularly strong about it. It was just more of a clarification that there were, in the past, services that could have been perceived as front-running, and that I just wanted to point out that those existed, and that, to my knowledge, and I think everyone would agree that they don't exist anymore, mainly due to the changes in the ad grace period. So I just kind of put together a sentence or two for the inclusion in the body of the report and not a change to a recommendation.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So that gets us through all the action items from last week, and we can move on to evaluating new public comments. And the next one was from our friend Phil Corwin. So if we can put that one up on the board, I'd like to... turn the floor over to Phil. And Phil, if you could briefly summarize the positions in your statement.
You want me to go through the whole executive summary here?
Well, I think what we've been doing is hitting the high points. I mean, so tell us the high points on each recommendation, and if there's anything new or different that it comes into the public comments that wasn't discussed during the course of the working group or not was not in the initial report, you should mention that also.
Well, let me just, I wasn't expecting to be asked to do this. Let me just quickly go through the executive summary, which is, you know, and see if anybody wants to get deeper into any of these points. Speaking for the Internet Commerce Association, what we stated here, we generally agreed with the definition of abuse that the group came up with. We thought it was important to differentiate between registration and other domain abuses. And this is part of our overall point we've made over the years, that there are limits to ICANN's authority. ICANN is not the government of the Internet, and there are certain things that people do with domains, illegal acts in particular, that it's not ICANN's. While ICANN may be able to help law enforcement, it's primarily a law enforcement or other national or international authority issue. So while it's difficult sometimes to draw the line, we think it should be drawn agreed on a UDRP P2P. So far it was broadly comprehensive. I think we just got that with the balance language. On rights protection methods, we didn't oppose a PDP being regarded in conjunction with new TLDs and new rights protection mechanisms, but thought that, you know, that should be part of the UDRP PDP that eventually, again, our position has been that we want a uniform policy across all TLDs, and I would think that rights holders would want that at all as well. They wouldn't want one set of rules for some GTLDs and different rules for others. We supported having ICANN's compliance department look at this fake renewal notice issue. I know I got those recently in regard to some domains that I own, and it's pretty misleading stuff, and if you're not sophisticated, you could be fooled by that. We supported developing non-binding best practices to assist contract parties, including account security management. And here in another place, I think the issue of domain theft is becoming a much more important issue for even professional domain registrants. I don't know if it's on the uprise or we're just seeing it reported publicly more often, but it's certainly something I'm hearing about a lot from the folks I represent, and we think it can be addressed in some of these initiatives, particularly things that registries and registrars can do to help prevent that. We appreciated the report's observation that PPC monetization is not a registration abuse, and that it's best addressed by private sector actors. So we're agreeing with the report there. And we did urge that any UDRP PDP consider the establishment of a cure period. And this is very limited. Minor transient and unintentional infringement caused by third-party placement of PPC advertising links, which recognizes that you know, people own a portfolio of many domains, may sign up to have them monetized by, you know, PPC links of a certain category. It's not practically feasible for them to review each and every domain they own on a daily basis to see what links are there, and that sometimes the ad provider inadvertently puts a link there that could be viewed as encouraging or tantamount to infringement, and there ought to be an ability for the owner of the domain to correct that if it's brought to their attention. And again, the words minor, transient, and unintentional, we're not trying to excuse major, persistent, and intentional infringement. We're just saying that where somebody, where an appearance of infringement from a PPC link that was caused by the ad provider and not intentionally by the domain owner, there should be some period in which that can be brought to their attention and they have the opportunity to cure it without losing their domain. And that's really something that's going to be brought up in any UDRP reform effort. Anyway, and finally, we supported additional research and process to ensure that WHOIS data is accessible, and again, urged to focus on fraudulent registrations that may be associated with domain theft. So basically, you go through all of these, I think we're in complete consensus and just building upon what the group has recommended, other than there's some disagreement about whether there's a line between ICANN policymaking scope and where it ends and where responsibility by government and intergovernmental authorities begins. And we urge in some of these items that the issue of domain theft be particularly taken into account. And I hope that was helpful, and if anybody wants to get into any of those points further, I'd be glad to expound on them further.
Okay. Thank you very much, Phil. Does anyone have any questions or comments for Phil?
And I would note that we complimented all the members of the working group for the excellent work product. So this was, you know, a very positive overall statement on the work done by this group.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Phil. That's much appreciated. Okay. One last call for any questions for Phil.
Greg, this is Barry. A question in relation to the domain name theft. We haven't actually classified that as a definition topic within our report, correct?
Domain hijacking, for example?
So is that where that's lumped under, is the hijacking section?
Ellen, I don't think we even have a hijacking section. It's the issue is has been dealt with more under the transfer issues, because it's either a transfer that's taken place inappropriately, in which case there's a transfer dispute mechanism, and some of the transfer working groups have dealt with the issue. And we kind of because those groups have dealt with it, we didn't get into the issue. You also have these cases where, you know, a hacker will just get into someone's domain account and relabel a domain, but in my experience, those are taken care of by the registrar, and transfer dispute processes are there to be taken advantage of if necessary. So,
okay, thank you.
James?
I just wanted to add to that, Greg, is that the issue of hijacking is recognized as a associated vulnerability with our current inter-registrar transfer policy, and that is something that we're addressing in the IRTP-B working group, as well as taking a look at the various dispute mechanisms and whether or not they're effective in addressing this problem, and then proposing a new one as well, recommendations for a new one. So if we have any mention of that or a section of that in this report, I don't believe we do, but if we wanted to add one, I would just refer it to the work of the IRTP and move on.
Okay, maybe we add a note about it in the report to cover that. Okay. Anything else for Phil? If not, thanks again, Phil, for that summary and your comments. And we'll move on to the next public comment, which was from Clark Walton, and it is the Registrar Stakeholder Group position. And I can read those off, or James, if you want to, since you're a registrar, you can.
Sure, I can wing that. I should mention that coming up with a position like this for the registrar stakeholder group is somewhat of a lengthy and involved process. As you might imagine, registrars are much more diverse and less unified in their business models and their positions on these different policies compared to other stakeholder groups, such as, for example, the registry stakeholder group. I'll pick on you guys just for a little bit there, Greg. We have a few items. We did not go through and catalog each recommendation, but we just kind of picked some of the highlights where there was consensus on the registrar stakeholder group. I think the first one is, touching on the scope issues, registration abuse versus use. I don't want to belabor that. It's there to be read, but I think it echoes some of the comments or concerns raised in the ICA letter. Again, believing that there are limitations to what ICANN is able to practically affect and what they have the authority to affect, and that there are certain types of issues that ICANN should recognize its limited remit in those areas. I'm having some scrolling trouble, so bear with me for just a second here. With regard to the recommendation about rights protection mechanisms, I think we're being very cautious in saying that it's premature to recommend something that has not been fully baked by the PAP working group and has not been implemented or seen any real-world experience. It is premature to recommend that those be examined for inclusion in incumbent GTLDs. And I think that's something that we would like to see at least the same body of experience with those new rights protection mechanisms that we have with existing rights protection mechanisms before we determine that one is better than the other, whether they're appropriately moved into incumbent GTLDs. The third item was this is a discussion about the minimum baseline, the uniformity of contracts. And I wasn't prepared to address this, Greg, so I apologize if I stumbled through item number three. But essentially, the stakeholder group is opposed to this. We think that, as we mentioned, in this and in the GoDaddy comment, and I'm not going to subject everyone to rehearing a lot of the points I've made when we were developing these recommendations, this will probably have the opposite effect of its intention, would essentially precipitate a race to the bottom and the least common denominator in terms of security and abuse practices, especially when you consider that exceeding the minimum baseline would involve additional expense and liability assumption of risk, and therefore that would be a competitive disadvantage to anyone that would want to exceed those. So I lost my cursor here, just a moment. And, there's the, that's essentially our, the stakeholder group's position. There's a little disclaimer there at the bottom, and that's it.
Okay.
I don't know if there's anything new or shocking in there. I would point out, however, that this topic is very has generated a lot of interest within the stakeholder group. Arriving at any kind of a consensus is sometimes challenging because the registrar stakeholder group is very large and comprised of folks from different businesses, different business models from all over the world. So it is noteworthy that we were able to reach consensus on these points.
Okay. Thank you, James. Are there any questions or comments for James? Not seeing any. Last call then.
There, let me on TV.
Hello, this is Rod. Hello, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
yeah.
Hi, Rod.
Yep. Okay, I was having problems before. Sorry, it looks like I converted my time improperly, too. I just realized that the meeting has probably been going on for quite a while. I'm in Prague at the moment, so I apologize for being late. I just had a question, James, on what the rationale slash legal basis was for this statement that if the registrars assume some sort of if some sort of minimum baseline is created, how that creates excess liability for anybody else or anybody who decides to exceed that, how that creates excess liability for ICANN. I'm not an attorney, but I don't understand how it creates anything more than we already have today for anybody who decides to do more than nothing, because the minimum baseline being zero right now.
I'm not an attorney, but I should mention that registrars who, like my own employer, who engage in very expensive and intensive anti-abuse efforts, do so with an assumption of, some degree of risk. That minimum baseline as part of an ICANN policy would essentially normalize what would be considered internal operating procedures or best practices. So the concern is that if one registrar were to deviate from the minimum baseline policy or exceed it, that would be, in the event that any of their actions translated into a lawsuit, that would essentially give complainant, in that case, the ammunition to go after a registrar and saying, you have deviated from what is considered an industry practice or an ICANN policy, even if the registrar contends that their internal policies were more more comprehensive and more effective, it still would be, I think, a liability going into that kind of a situation, saying that we are behaving differently than the rest of the industry or we're out of step with the rest of the industry on this area. So I think it's just it would be an area of concern if any of their actions were to translate into a legal liability. And maybe one of the attorneys on this, I know we have several on this call, can explain that, but I know that anytime someone deviates from other published industry standards, I think they open themselves up to some additional risk.
This is Greg. I've raised my hand. I think actually there are two issues there related to each other. Looking at the language, it says if a baseline of registration abuse provisions are mandated, i.e. made required, then that means risk, and that needs to be covered. And then the second one is you've got the baseline, and then you deviate from it, if you have higher standards, that creates some issues. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I think that the first part you mentioned, that mandating this would essentially require registrars, to take risks where they may be avoiding them today. And that's the impetus behind the discussions about requiring a complementary degree of indemnification by ICANN, that registrars would be somewhat protected from assuming those risks by ICANN if they were shown to be following ICANN's mandated processes.
Okay. I see Wendy's hand.
Sure, I just wanted to offer up a bit of legal perspective that I think this is coming from tort law, where often an industry standard can set the standard of care and then set duties to engage in activity up to that standard of care, and deviation from that can then be construed as negligence. Without expressing an opinion whether that would happen here, I think that's the legal background.
Okay. Thank you, Wendy. Okay. Any other questions or comments on the registrar's statement? Okay. If not, we'll move on to the next one. Thanks, James. The next one is from Paul McGrady. It is the IPC comments. Intellectual property constituency. Is there anyone from IPC who wants to read these off? If not, I'll run through them. Okay. All right. So the IPC says it supports the recommendations, which received unanimous consensus, rough consensus, and or strong support. In addition, they support an alternative recommendation. They would like to see the new rights protection mechanisms be applied in the current GTLD space. So that was something we discussed in proposed recommendations. And then the IPC suggests that the group support the following recommendations regarding deceptive domain names. And they have language that says about regarding the protection of children, and that they recommend a PDP and issues report to investigate the most effective means to prevent registration of or improperly cancel deceptive domain names which mislead children to objectionable sites. And their opinion is also that ICANN's agreements with registries and registrars explicitly state that registries and registrars are explicitly empowered but not obligated to develop reasonable policies internal to each contracted party designed to prevent the registration of deceptive or offensive strings. IPC suggests that the RAP adopt alternative recommendations regarding who is. One, the initiation of PDP, an issues report to investigate the connection, if any, between privacy and our proxy services. And to a PDP and issues report to investigate the possibility of developing best practices for privacy and or proxy services to prevent and address registration abuses and developing an accreditation and compliance program to enforce any such practices. And those are the comments. So any notes or questions on that? I think the ones regarding who is are out of scope, because we very explicitly stayed away from those accuracy and privacy and proxy issues because the GNSO Council has already commissioned reports on those, so it can do policy making on those once informed. So I think those are just out of scope. Any other questions?
Greg, this is Rob. I don't know if they're out of scope, but they're certainly already being done. So I think.
Yeah, I'm saying they're out of scope for this for our working group. We specifically excluded them from scope.
Right, because somebody else is already working on it.
Yeah, because it's already underway elsewhere.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Okay, any other comments? Anything new or unusual in these comments? Okay, if not, the next one is from the commercial and business users constituency. What we'll have to do is take that one up at the next meeting because we've run out of time today. Barry, would you be willing to tackle those next meeting?
Absolutely.
Okay. Our next meeting is on the 10th. There is a chance I might not be able to dial in because I'm traveling next week. Rod and I are going to be at the anti-phishing working group meeting in Brazil. I will attempt to log in, but if I can't, that means my plane's late or something. So we'll make some contingency plans for that. We have a couple of action items. I'll write those up and send those up to the list. And as always, we do have a draft of the report out. Marika has done up the draft of the final report. That's there so we can make tweaks and changes to it. And if you have any of those, please redline them and then send those up to the list, noting what you changed. That's mainly for changes to the background materials and not to the recommendation text. Recommendation text will have to go through process for changes, of course. So, any parting thoughts before we adjourn for today? We only have two more public comments to go through. We have the BC, actually just one, actually the BC, and then that's it. So we'll hit that next week, and then we'll be substantially done. We'll just have to do some last work on some open items. So I think we're going to be fine as far as our schedule. We have three more meetings this month, the 10th, the 17th, the 24th. The 31st is a public holiday in the United States. I'm doubting we'll meet that day, but I think we'll have enough time to wrap up things as planned. So if no more business for today, we'll adjourn. Good work today. Thanks for settling on that language regarding cyber squatting. And we'll see you all next week.
Thanks, Greg. Great job.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you, everyone.